Okay, so you have to hear this story. I was at a retreat last weekend, small personal retreat with just a few people, and it was really rich. I was one of the speakers. There was another guy, and we were kind of doing it for some couples, just friends, just a thing. And everyone really appreciated my opening talk and told me how meaningful it was to them and how profound, or, you know, it's just really, really beautiful. And then next guy gets up the next evening. And then, so then it's 48 hours later. It's just 2 days.
Okay.
It's Sunday now. I get up to give the next talk. And I said, okay, look, just by way of review, let's kind of pick up where we were and the thing that you all felt was so meaningful. So just kind of reflect back to me.
Yes.
Why are you laughing? You know where this is going.
I'm just watching your face. Yeah.
You know where this is going. I said to them, just reflect back to me what you remember from that deeply meaningful talk.
Yes.
Crickets.
What?
That, I mean, seriously, not a person in the room, including my dear wife, could remember even barely 48 hours later,
gosh,
that evening that was so impactful. Like, folks, we got a problem here with forgetfulness and the human soul and the spiritual life. And that's what we're going to chase this week. So welcome back to the Wild at Heart podcast. John and Alan in the studio. Alan with his coffee addiction, healthy and intact in place.
Yes.
We, over the next 2 weeks, we've got something I think is going to be really, really helpful to you guys about memory and recall and grabbing some of the key lessons and rescues. So we're March 25th here this week. And then next week in April 1st, we're going to pick up with a part two on this. Before we jump in, let's take our pause. Let's get out of the madness, let go of the world, and center ourselves again. Jesus, I give everyone and everything to you today. Everyone, everything. Help me to let it go. Help me to truly release the world and work and people and everything that's already got me so spun up. I take a moment, I catch my breath, and I just release it, friends. Lay it all down so that you can come back to yourself and come back to your union with God. Jesus, I pray that you would restore our union, restore my union with you. I need your strength. I need your joy this week. I need your life. Come, meet us in this week's podcast. Amen. Okay, so welcome back, everybody. The week of March 25th here.
Yes.
And the gift that we want to bring you this week has to do with that story about forgetfulness. Like, we are 12 podcasts into the year now. And I'm wondering, what do you remember?
Bits and pieces.
Yeah, that's
bits
fair.
Bits and pieces.
Bits and pieces. Like, yeah. Because all of us have so much content coming at us. And great stuff and then playful stuff and funny reels and, your kind of weekly intake of media, the shows you watch, the games you watch, it washes some of the most important lessons right out of the files. Okay.
Yes.
So we're going to give you this week and next week, two highlight reels this week. We just pulled out, from a series we did in January. From a series we did in February, we just pulled out a clip to bring back a gift. And the first clip and the first gift is we are spiritual beings in a material world. We are material beings in a spiritual world. They're really undivided. And prior to this hour and kind of the Enlightenment and what it did to our understanding of reality, you know, the ancients knew that. There was no separation between heaven and earth.
Yes.
So when we bring up things like spiritual attack, you know, fear coming over you in the night, or, you know, something that feels really mean against your kids and they're terrorized at night, you're dealing with spiritual realities, possibly, probably. And so in this first clip, I am going back to, it was a January series.
Correct.
That we did on spiritual warfare.
Right. And what I love about this clip is it shows specific tools. So when we see warfare coming at us, one, we can be aware of it, what it really is, but you give specific tools here on now, how do we come against it and not let it gain ground?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So the other night, Stacy and I had come out of a really difficult situation, and I don't want to incriminate other people. I'll just say we came out of a difficult situation, and we were at home at dinner trying to sort it out. And as we were trying to unpack it on just a human level, mm-hmm. Well, no, I think they said this. No, honey. They said this. It actually started blowing up in our kitchen. And I mean, our marriage was spiraling fast. I could feel the animosity. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait, time out. Like, we love each other. Something else is going on here. Could we stop and pray? We stopped and prayed about it. Mm-hmm. Gone. And so if you don't take this into account, you're going to have a pretty bumpy experience in this world. So first clip, here's some very practical tools for dealing with the stuff that the enemy throws at you or your kids. First off, you need to deal directly with this. And this has been one of the most exasperating things as a teacher of understanding about the war we fight with the spiritual realms. The human nature doesn't want to deal with this. And it wants to just explain it away of like, no, I actually am angry at my wife. You don't understand. And, you know, so we walked into the family system and everybody's angry, but that doesn't have anything to do with this. Like, they want to explain it away.
Yes.
They don't want to deal with it directly. Luke 10, verse 18, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, foul spirits, and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. So the authority is given, the victory is won, but Jesus is saying you have to apply it.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And the idea of trample on snakes and scorpions, like that's not a passive activity, right? Like you got a snake in the kitchen and your toddler's sitting there playing on the floor. What are you going to do?
You're going at it.
You're
going
to kill that thing, man.
Right.
Go for it, folks.
And when you say you have the authority, John, you've helped me so much on this front, because that's a different prayer. A prayer of authority that's been given to us is a different way of praying than, God, take this away, right?
Yes.
Because it's we now can step in boldness with whatever's coming at us in the name of Jesus.
It's so important. There's a lovely story. I think it was told by Catherine of Siena. She was under assault one day and she prayed that. She said, oh, Lord Jesus, please take this away from me. And he replied to her, no, you do it. Like, we are maturing.
Yes.
As amphibians, men and women who know how to live and move and operate in the kingdom of God in this world, right?
Yes.
Heaven to earth. We are maturing in that. And God is urging us to firmly, you will trample on these guys.
Huge.
Okay, huge. You got that scorpions running across the floor, headed towards your foot, you're going to pick up a magazine and whack it, right?
Right.
Okay. So what's interesting, Jesus is speaking to a Jewish audience there, obviously, and he is drawing upon the allusion from Psalm 91. I would recommend Psalm 91, everybody, if it's been a while since you read it, or I enjoy listening to audio Bible renditions. I like having it read to me.
Yes.
And so I'll listen to Psalm 91 in the morning quite often. It says in Psalm 91, you will trample the lion and the cobra. You will crush the great lion and the serpent. Mm. That's what he's referring to here, Jesus, in this passage, clearly. And again, that's that idea of trample, crush, victory, authoritative, direct action.
Yes.
I am urging direct
not passivity.
Action, not passivity. Okay. And by the way, the problem with a lot of us that were brought up in kind of like the bind it or banish it culture. Well, we bind fear in the name of Jesus. And that's all we pray. We just say, tonight, we just bind fear in the name of Jesus. Well, the problem is it doesn't deal with it in a permanent way. It cuts it off for about 24 hours. And then these guys are Houdini. They figure out how to get out of the binding and they come back and just attack you again, right? Or if you just banish it, that's not helpful because you just sent it to your neighbor's house, right? Now it's going to go pick on their 8-year-old daughter. Like, right. You have to deal with this stuff directly. And so here's what I do. I either send, you know, if I know, okay, the foul spirit of fear just entered the room, I send these foul spirits of fear to the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do that.
Yes.
It's very biblical. They go to Christ for their judgment. Or you can call down fire and glory on them to destroy them in the moment, unless they have permission to go to the throne of Christ. Okay, more and more authoritative, more and more direct action, you will find to be immensely helpful. Okay, you don't want to give these guys room in your life. Tools like the blood of Christ. We talked about the power of the blood of Jesus in the first episode. And I read the Revelation passage in the first episode, Revelation 12, they triumphed over the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. It is so powerful and wonderful to cleanse yourself on a daily basis with the blood of Christ.
Yes.
That disarms a lot of things you just don't even know are there. Yes. That are trying to get you.
Yes.
But also cleanse your home. Cleanse your home. Cleanse your household with the blood of Christ. Cleanse the atmosphere in your home. Cleanse your technology, for heaven's sakes.
Yes.
I pray as part of my, you know, morning prayers that all technology that is coming to us, because, you know, all that, all those frequencies, the cellular, the Wi-Fi, the digital, the EMF, all that, internet, like as it enters into my home and my household, it must come through the blood of Jesus Christ. Mm. Right? I mean, have you been on That's cable recently, really folks? Helpful. Have you cruised through YouTube? There's a lot of creepy stuff.
Yes.
I don't want that just flowing in and out. Hmm. Yes. So the blood of Christ is absolutely wonderful. And it does disarm the foul spirits. We talked about authority. Luke 10, I've given you authority. But there's that beautiful passage also in Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul says, God raised us with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. It's literally at the right hand of the Father, right? So all right. Authority, Jesus has been raised, his ascension, right. Okay? You participate in the ascension of Christ.
Yes.
Right now. And so it's just so helpful to realize you're giving top-down orders. You're not fighting this on a horizontal plane. You're not swinging at a piñata.
That's so good.
Hoping that you get a good, you get a good whack. You know, you are, no, I am from the throne of the Almighty God, we are issuing these orders, okay? Mm-hmm. That's very, very helpful. But you'll also find it helpful, gang, to bring your kingdom under the authority of the Lord Jesus and into his kingdom. Because of assault, because of sin, because of the broken world, things get out from under the protection of God. They just do. They get out, you know, Jesus says, remain in me and I will remain in you in John 15. Well, he's assuming that you cannot remain in him.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
All right. So you find that very helpful. Like okay. So again, we were talking about like chaos and vehicles, for example, chaos and finances, chaos and, you know, your kid's education, chaos trying to get in. Not only do you kick chaos out, right, with the order of God, right. The creation glory of the living God, but you also bring that, I bring our vehicles, I bring our finances under the authority of Jesus and into his kingdom.
Yeah.
That's a very wonderful thing to do, to get everything protected, right?
Yes, and the alignment you're talking about, John, and the realignment we need. The picture I have is when I stand in the ocean and I think I'm standing in the same place, but over the course of about 10 minutes, you find you're like 50 feet from where you were because of the pull, right?
Yes.
And you don't even know. Yes. And then you start walking back to your family and you realize, how did I get way over here and they're way over there? Perfect. I thought I was in place.
Perfect.
But we need that spiritually. We need that anchoring and aligning. And if we think we can do it on our own strength, we're going to find we're out of alignment pretty soon.
Yeah, I like that very much. I like the word alignment very much. I pray for it, you know, that this will, whatever it is, this trip, this vacation, this conversation, this meeting, that this comes into alignment with the Lord Jesus Christ and his purposes, right?
That's good.
We try and pray that every week before we record these things. Okay, so we're talking about the blood, the authority, angels. Hebrews 1:14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So angels are given to help you, friends of God, followers of Jesus. Well, call on them. Ask, I mean, I think most of us take a real passive approach to that as well. It's like, well, I hope some angels are with us on this trip, or, you know, wow, it looked like your angel really saved you that day.
Right.
Like, don't be so passive. Be much more engaged in this. We call the angels of the living God to protect us in our travels.
Yes.
To protect our home at night, right?
Yes.
Okay. Right now, to protect our kids as they travel. And as you are issuing orders, like we've been talking about from on high, commanding, you know, banishing chaos or desolation or the global mind jam, you're ordering the destruction of the whole apparatus of the global mind jam over you, ask the angels to carry it out. So when I'm done with those kinds of prayers, whatever it is, I'll say, angels of the living God, I ask your help in this. Please carry out these orders until everything is done. They love serving God. They love worshiping God. And they love helping you, gang.
Yes.
Ask for their help. Practical tools for dealing with the various types of attack that come against us or our families, our work, you know, wherever it's hitting. Mm-hmm. That chaos piece was really helpful for me to be reminded of.
Me too.
Okay. The world is such a chaotic place now. It's like, no, God has an answer, you know. So then in February, we did a two-part series on your new book, Risk the Real, in which you're inviting people. Again, we're trying to rescue our souls here from the madness.
Yes.
And your invitation in that book to us and in those two podcasts are great. It is to recognize how the lie, the artificial, is trying to get you.
Right.
Get into your life. The clip we want to play for you, friends, from that two-part series, we're just going to play a little seven-minute clip here, I think is a perfect follow-on to what we've just been talking about, how the enemy's brilliant and he knows how to spin the story so that we believe it.
Yes.
Okay. So let's listen to this clip from February. I think this reminder is going to be super helpful for folks as well.
When I started to look at the artificial, John, you know, the main thing we hear is AI today and artificial intelligence. And that is a part of it, but it's not the main part. It's not the only part. And so it was fascinating to me as I kind of followed this breadcrumb trail of what is going on. Mm-hmm. Well, the artificial, I started realizing how much it's affecting every aspect of our lives. So anything, the way I define the artificial is this: anything that seeks to replace God's view of reality by opposing him or making him irrelevant. And it began, like the roots of it go back to when Adam and Eve were tempted and did choose the wrong tree, the tree of knowledge. And those same roots, I think, come against us and we get tangled up in them every day. And so if you want to know the reason for something, as we've discussed here in the podcast before, it helps to go back to the beginning, to the origin story. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where did all of this start? And with the artificial, I believe it started in Eden. And so Adam and Eve were given a choice between staying in the true story that God created for them, the real, or the counterfeit narrative, the artificial false story that the serpent provides, which is, no, you can actually go this direction and make a choice, and that choice will help you become like gods. And so when they chose that, they chose the artificial, not knowing fully but that's what they did. And we have been immersed in that ever since. And so when we look at it through those eyes, that lens, you start going, what in my life is artificial? Well, it's anything that pulls me away from God or makes it feel like it can supersede God in my life or make anything besides what this shiny, bright new thing is less relevant.
Yeah, but you're not doing this justice. It's better than that. Your ideas are really profound. Because what the thing is, you're not using the word evil for a reason. You're using the word artificial. And the artificial is the fake that promises relief, comfort, joy, adventure, beauty,
yes,
intelligence, yes, peace of mind, right?
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
The artificial is the not real that looks real, mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just think this is really important that you were telling me the other day that one of the things that in the race for generative AI, there's different types of AI, right?
Right.
But generative,
right,
AI, the stuff that's like, you know, self-learning, self-teaching, self, this stuff is moving fast,
right?
Right. And a lot of how it gets used in the world is to know you.
Exactly.
And to know what makes you feel better.
Right. So there's this, if people haven't seen it yet, I just want to mention this to them. There's a video you can watch online. It's called The AI Dilemma. And this came out almost a year ago.
We'll post it in the show notes, folks.
You don't have to write it down now. But in the video, it was a gathering of top AI developers and two men, Asa Raskin and Tristan Harris, try to describe, mm-hmm, what's going on and put words to it, right?
Yep.
And they call it a giant reality collapse, which is like, that ought to catch our attention, right? Like, if there is a reality, this is causing it to collapse in a big way. And John, they actually talk about in the video golems, which to me, I mean, it makes me both smile and go, oh man.
Oh, it gives you the willies.
Oh man.
Yeah.
And the reason they use that kind of tongue-in-cheek acronym is they summarize what's going on with AI technology as generative, large language, multimodal models. So that is an acronym for Gollum. ChatGPT would be included in that. But basically these things that are being created that even the developers don't understand fully. In other words, the developers are making something that continues to exponentially grow in knowledge, increase in speed, to the point where they don't understand where it's going or why it's doing what it's doing. And one of the things they say in that video is the first wave of AI, which was social media, go back a decade ago or more, they call that the race to engagement. And you go, okay. And they say, but no. The second wave that we're in now, it's not coming, we're in it, is a race to intimacy.
And here's why. Let me explain to our listeners why. Because as this stuff learns your appetites, right? Like you know how this goes, right? You now get on Google or, you know, you get on a website and the ads that are coming up are tailor-made to you.
Yes.
You get on Instagram and those videos are exactly what work for you.
Yes.
Okay. This is why the artificial is getting creepy.
Yeah.
Is that this stuff is learning.
Right.
What it is that you will click on. So honestly, again, we didn't plan on this, but this is, a friend of mine sent me this post from Instagram this weekend, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read a snippet of it. He's riffing on, oh my gosh, I was on Instagram again. This is on Instagram. And I got caught because it knew exactly the video I would click on, the little reel I would click on. Our world has become hardwired to give us more of what we pay attention to. In last years, this trend has rapidly accelerated, okay, because of generative AI. Every time we look at the screen, even if we're just mindlessly scrolling, artificial intelligence is watching what we pay attention to. More than watching, it's studying. More than studying, it is obsessively measuring, training itself, getting better at giving us more. And you would say, more of the artificial.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So that you just get more and more lost.
Right.
In a fake world. Here's the thing. I remember those podcasts, but only now. Hmm. Only now that we've played the highlight clip. It was really, really good. It was really, really helpful, and it's gone. And that this is the thing we are fighting against.
Yes.
The inundation of content and losing just nuggets that will really help us in this moment that we live in. So if you were going to try and say, here's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. I think the big idea, if I could say it again in a shortened version, is we are all unfortunately partially present to reality, to the way God created us to live and to be. And the artificial is what's pulling us into this unpresent days. And so we can't fight, the first clip was on warfare.
Yeah.
Well, we can't even see what's coming against us or fight it if we don't understand the story we're in. Yeah. So Risk the Real is really an attempt to say, wake up and realize the story that God created us for, what his reality is, and how do we live and breathe and react and fight and love in that story, the true story.
Every day you pick up your phone, you turn on the news, you get on email, you are being assaulted with a competing narratives.
Yes.
And to come back to, what does God say about that? What does God say about that? What is he like, to ground ourselves back in reality?
And who would you give the primary intimacy in your life to?
Ooh.
Because the artificial is designed, especially AI and ChatGPT, to be the one that you look to for answers and validation. And so who will we give our intimacy to? God asked for it, and AI asked for it. The artificial asked for it.
The race is for intimacy now. That's a chilling thought, because it's so important to the human heart. So thank you for that. Friends, we're not going to give you any more. That's enough. Like, to those two clips, it's almost like, okay, I can't take any more content. But it's an example of 12 podcasts into the year, throwing you lifelines every week, we hope. And what do you remember from that? So hope this was helpful to ping a couple of points of yes. recall. We'll do it again next week. We want to give you a couple more highlights from the first quarter before we go into the new content that we have for you in the second quarter of the year.